All right. I wanted to start with one thing that I want to correct from last week, which was not a mistake, but just something that I did that I omitted, which is that the very important inyan that if you quote something from someone that you should say Davar B'Shem Omro. And last week, at the very end, I quoted this idea about the Ach and the Echad and the Dalid, and that without the Dalid, which was the Dalid Shrach, the Bnei Shrachos, that you just have Ach, which is just the Achva, the togetherness, but only that you have Echad, that you have unity, you have oneness. So I just was remiss to not attribute that idea is from Rabbi Fishel Mail. In his wonderful Sefer Shifte Israel, which the Kolal actually has courtesy of Chaim Goldstein on the shelf over there. So I just wanted to put that out there, that was his idea. So wanted to tonight do a lot of, hopefully we can talk about night. Well, tonight will also stand on its own, but also laying some of the groundwork for what we're going to discuss either next week or 2 weeks from now, whenever we get to it. But just to talk tonight about the line V'san Nis L'kabitz Galiyosinu, which is the second line, the second clause of the bracha. To talk about what the words V'san Nis means, and at the end, if we have time, we'll talk about L'kabitz Galiyosinu. The Pashut Pshat, the simplest understanding of the words, and I can only assume that Archville translates it this way, Sa Nes, as to raise a banner. So they have.
Yes.
So the simplest understanding, simplest translation of the words of Sa Nes is certainly to raise a banner. It's a point to rally around, to gather around. A banner is, you know, just like a banner in a war is the rallying point for the army. The Avudraham says that this line of in Shmoneh Esrei cites a pasuk in Yeshaya in Perek Yud Ches pasuk Gimel. The pasuk says Kol Yoshvei Tevel V'Shochnei Aretz Kineso Nes Harim Tiru, that all of the those who dwell in civilization and those who reside in the land, when they lift a nace on the mountains, they will see. So it's, you know, the nace there clearly means a banner, something that they lift in a high place for everyone to see. And the Radak also, in the Sefer HaShirashim of the Radak, says that a degel, which means a flag, he says a degel is a nace. So also you see the idea that a nace is a banner, and that's certainly the simplest, most straightforward understanding of these words. Sanes means to raise a banner, to lift up a banner. It's a central point around which to gather. It's that which, you know, kind of draws things together and brings things into a point which they rally around. Maybe this is Ola Yafa. Maybe this fits very nicely with what we discussed last week, that this second clause is referring to gathering all of Klal Yisrael together in one place. Last week we discussed that the first line of the bracha, according to the Siach Yitzchak, the first line of the bracha is about the bitul hashibud, is nullifying the servitude, laying the groundwork for reaching freedom. And then the second line is the kibbutz al makom echad, where everyone is gathered to one place. And the third line, kavatinu yachad, is going up together to Eretz Yisrael. So the second line is the gathering together into one place. So the sanis, to raise a banner, it's a point in which everyone, you know, gathers around. It's a focal point, a rallying point that everyone would merge towards. So fits very nicely with that this the raising the banner is the point of a point of convergence, that everyone merges upon that point, and that's the gathering together. And we discussed last week the significance of that stage of the gathering together, but on just the simple level, that's what Sanis clearly refers to, this idea of gathering of the raising a banner. Just within this point, I just want to point out that, let's say, raising a nace, a banner. So, I think if you ask most people, and maybe I'll pose the question to you guys, who is that banner being lifted to? Who are we raising that banner for? Or who is that banner being raised for? Who's supposed to see that banner?
Ourselves.
The members of what?
Ourselves.
Ourselves, the members of Klal Yisrael, the exiles, the people who are adrift, right? So that's I think most people would assume the nace is to Klal Yisrael, but that isn't actually the most obvious meaning. The Avudram cites another pasuk for this line of Shmona Esrei, and you don't really need the Avudram. The truth is, I mean, you need the Avudram because none of us know Navi, so we need him to tell us where Pesukim are. But that see the pasuk, and it's very obvious the parallel between this verse and this line of Shmona Esrei. The pasuk in Yeshaya Yud Aleph Yud Beis, chapter 11, verse 12, says the Nasa Nes Lagoyim Vaasaf Nidchei Yisrael. The Nefutze Yehuda, Yikani, something like that. At the end of the pasuk, but the pasuk says, "Venasa nes laGoyim," and he raises a banner to the Goyim, to the nations, "Vaasaf nidchei Yisrael," and the gathers in, and then he gathers in the pushed off the rejected people of Bnei Yisrael. So the nes, very clear in the pasuk, is to the Goyim, is to the non-Jews, to the nations around us, and that seems to be where this bracha is modeled off of that pasuk. This line of the bracha is modeled off that pasuk of Asa Nes, very similar to the Venasa Nes. So it seems like the Pashat Pshat seemingly indicates that this banner is being raised not to us, but to the non-Jews, to the nations of the world, is who are supposed to see this banner. And so, like I said, we're going to try and lay some groundwork for when we get back to this. But so we'll get back to that point. But just something to point out that you're going with this Pashat Prat, raising the banner. The banner is seemingly not for us. The banner is seemingly for the nations of the world. Right, so that's what the pasuk really says. It says v'nasa nes lagoyim v'asaf nidchei Yisrael. So we'll try and talk about in the pasuk chat in the pesukim, the mefarshim there, Mitzvah Tzion, they say that it means that the Kadosh Baruch Hu will do a nes to show them a sign, a banner that clearly, you know, that he's redeeming his people, and then the non-Jews will either release the Jews or they'll send them off. But then that the non-Jews, the nations of the world, will then be the ones who send the Jews off to gather back together. So the continuation of the Shmona Esrei is clear that the result of that nes is for us, but both in the verse, and I think in the paralleling it in Shmona Esrei, that the nes is raised to the nations of the world, and then the impact of it is the kibbutz galios, is the ingathering of the exiles. So hopefully we'll get back to that point, the significance of that point. There are a couple more ideas, though, of alternate understandings of this line. So a nes can also mean a proof. Rav Hirsch on the Chumash and the pasuk b'masos b'osos u'mamofsim, Rav Hirsch understands the word b'masos to come from the same word from nes, and Rav Hirsch says that the meaning of the word b'masos b'osos u'mamofsim means proofs and signs and wonders. That the masos is proofs, that the idea of the nes is a proof, and then we have Arashi and Chumash, which really says this also. The pasuk in Parshas Chukas in Bamidbar, Parak Chaf Aleph, pasuk Ches. So the story over there, when the people complained, and Kadosh Baruch Hu sent fiery serpents to bite the people, and they all came to Moshe and they said, "Daven to Hashem, and He should save us." And the pasuk says that Hashem says to Moshe, "Aseh lecha saraf, make for yourself a serpent, v'sim oso al nes, and put it up on a nes." So a nes there Clearly, Rashi points to the Rashi there, says means a pole, which is the same idea, you know, as the banner, you're putting it up something, you're lifting up high. But Rashi says that why is this banner, why is this pole that they're putting the serpent on called a nace? Rashi says, Ulafishahu gavoa laos ularaya, because it's held up high as a sign and a proof. Kira'o nace. So therefore the pasuk calls it a nace. The idea of a nace is Rashi saying that the main meaning here of nace is something which is la'os ularaya, something which is a proof, and the verse is, so to speak, borrowing that to refer to this pole as a nace, because it's something which is being put up as held up as a sign, as a proof, as an indication of something. In the context of the verses there, different Rishonim say that the point of the serpent was, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu could have healed them naturally, but the point of the serpent was that they would see, if they just suddenly got better, then maybe some of them might, you know, tell themselves that, oh, they just happened to get better. But if, when you looked at the snake, and the snake is, you know, the, even though it wasn't an actual snake, but, you know, the snake was the source of their bite, and they look at the snake, and looking at the snake, which, you know, is for sure not going to make things better, looking at the snake is what causes them to get better, would be clear to them that the refuah, that the healing came from Hashem. So the saraf that he was putting up, and that way served as a nace, served as the proof that Hashem was the one who was healing them. So the idea of a nace is a raya, is a proof. The Malbim, a similar idea, a related concept, the word nus, so that's several words which mean to run away, to flee, is the word barach. That the word nus, the Malbim says, means to run away al yedei hechech. It means you're fleeing against your will, you're forced out of where you are. It's uncontrollable. It's when something is against your will. There's no other option, and that's the idea of what a raya is. When you have a smach, you have, you know, a rem as an indication of something. So it kind of hints towards it, but, you know, there's always alternate explanations. When you have a raya, when you have a proof, the idea of proof is it's incontrovertible. This is the only way you can interpret it. You're kind of stuck with it. And I say the idea of nus means when you are forced into that route, into that choice of response, and that's not the same idea directly, but a similar concept. The idea of nos means something which is, that's the only option, and the idea of nace is a raya, is a proof, the same type of idea. And this very clearly has a connection to the first idea that we're talking about, the idea of the banner, aside from the fact that in the very pasuk where it's being used as a nace, it's being held up, you know, as a sort of banner. It's also where we see that it was being used as a proof. But the pasuk says, the other pasuk that we quoted before, that the Abu Dram brings, says kineso nace harim tiru, that when they lift up the nace on the mountains, they will see. That the idea and the idea of a nace, the idea of a nace as a banner, is that it's seen, right? And the idea of seeing something, that proof is with sight. When you hear something, so hearing is the idea of a shmua, is a rumor. It's something that, you know, you could be not, and it's something that you hear is there's always, you know, alternate explanations, whatever. You don't know yourself, but the idea is something you see. Proof is with sight. Edim, witnesses, are only allowed to testify about what they saw, and aid me pay aid. Even if someone who you trusted very much told you what happened, you are not allowed to go into court and to say that. You cannot testify about what you heard. You can only testify about what you saw. What you see is what is incontrovertible. Now, there might be things about which you see which, if you didn't realize the whole situation, you might misinterpret, which is why the Edim are supposed to not provide any interpretation. They're not supposed to provide any commentary about what they did. You often find this in this problem with the expert witnesses, the scientist who comes in and says, you know, that the DNA sample that we had matches the DNA sample of the blood that you found on the floor, and therefore it must be that he is that this suspect is the criminal. So that key transition of the "and therefore" is where he stops saying what he knows and starts saying what he thinks, starts drawing conclusions. Aiden are supposed, the what they relate is what they saw, and they're supposed to say no more than that, and it is the job of Beis Din to draw the conclusion of what we know based on what you saw, what is necessarily true. If you saw Plony stab Almoni and you saw the knife go in, then, okay, so we know that that happened. If what you saw was Plony go into a room with a not bloody knife and come out with a bloody knife and you walked in and there's no one else in the room except for a guy who's been stabbed, you do not know. You did not see that Plony stabbed Almoni, and you cannot testify Plony stabbed Almoni. You can testify we saw Plony walk into a room with a clean knife, walk out with a bloody knife, and then we saw Almoni was stabbed. The idea of re'iyah, of what you saw, is that's what's, so to speak, incontrovertible. You have to see it to believe it. This is really one of the yesodos of our emuna, is that we have the, that, you know, we say that all nevuah is not really in a vacuum trustworthy. We would never trust a Navi. The only reason we trust a Navi is because the Torah tells us to trust a Navi. The Torah says that Navi Akim Lechamikarecha, Elav Tishmau, you should listen to him. The only reason we listen to a Navi is because we have an original Navi who we ourselves witnessed with our own eyes, a Necha Raoraz, Necha Shamu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. That wasn't something that we had to figure out. There was no transference of him, you know, trying to prove based on, you know, predictions or based on doing miracles or anything like that to prove his Ne'amanus. His authenticity and authority came from our own verification with our own eyes of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to him. And that's the source of all of our emunah, which no other religion has that. Every other religion has an individual, at some point, boils down to an individual who says, believe me that God spoke to me because I can walk on water, or whatever wonderful things I can do, and therefore transfer your wonderment at my wonders that I do to believing in me. But you didn't see God speak to him. You don't know that God spoke to him. And the Rambam says, in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Yisodei Torah, you could always have, Perek Zayin, Perek Ches of Yisodei Torah, you could always have someone pulling tricks. Someone can always pull the wool over your eyes. It's when you saw yourself, that's the only thing that you know. And that's the bedrock of what distinguishes the emunah of Klal Yisrael to be it requires a sense of reason to accept it, as opposed to any other religion where it takes a leap of faith that I'm going to trust that guy. You know, God decided to come to him and not tell me that that's his messenger. That's the idea of re'iyah. It's the clearest knowledge, and a banner is something which is held up, something open that everyone can see, and that's the idea of proof. Proof, the idea of re'iyah, something that is set there as sight, is the idea of something that you know clearly. It's something that's open and obvious and evident. So sa'nes, raise a banner, something we can see. It's a proof to gather in the scattered exiles. It's raising a clear and obvious sign that the Geula has arrived. That's the idea of sa'nes, according to this understanding. Point out the rabbinic word for miracle. I'm going to point out something interesting that I think I only realized this perhaps just today, but that the word nes, meaning miracle, does not appear in the Torah or Tanakh. As far as, to the best of my knowledge, it does not. But the word nes, meaning miracle, is a rabbinic word. Is a word that does not appear in Tanakh. We have a few words like that. We have the word mechila, meaning forgiveness, seemingly does not appear in Tanakh. I think we discussed that at the time. But the word nes, which means miracle, seemingly would also come from this idea of proof, that a nes is a proof. A nes is a proof of several things, but a miracle is a proof. But just in one central idea, that the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo explains the central significance of Yetzias Mitzrayim and why so many mitzvos are zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. We find by many, many mitzvos that you do these mitzvos, tefillin and sukkah and Pesach is very obvious, but mezuzah and kriyashma, and all these mitzvos that we do, which are zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Ramban explains that the nisim geluyim, the open miracles that we experienced then by Yetzias Mitzrayim, with the makos and kriyas yamsof, and all the things that we saw there, that those are the evidence, those are the proof. By experiencing that, we realize that all of the hidden miracles that they're also from Hashem, that everything is beyond Hashem, that Hashem is in charge of everything. When you see the open miracles, you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really in absolute control, and and you see that things work exactly the way that Hashem wants them to work, and He wants to override the rules. He overrides the rules. You see that the rules themselves are really under His control, and everything is beyond Hashem. The nes is the proof, the sign that everything is beyond Hashem. I just want to suggest that this is possibly why there is no word, this is possibly the reason why there is no word in biblical Hebrew. There's no word for the supernatural, there's no word for miracles. No, nes is not a biblical word. And there's also no word for natural. The word teva is also not a word that you find in Tanakh. There's a little bit of a discussion that whether or not it's a word that you even find in Chazal. Maybe that it might be even a post Talmudic word. There's Yaivet and Amar Shah who seem to understand that the word Tiva in a certain Gemara means nature. But be that as it may, that it's certainly not a biblical word. It's certainly not a word for Tanakh. So there's no word in Tanakh for natural, no word teva, and there's no word for supernatural, there's no word for nes. So both of these are post-prophetic words, and the words that don't appear in Tanakh, because in reality, there is no such thing as teva or nes. There's no such thing as this mode of running the world and this mode of running the world. From our perspective, there's what we're used to and what we're not used to. But Kilap Eishmaya, in a view from the perspective of reality, there's really no difference between the two. There's not two different things. There's not teva and nes. There's just Ratzon Hashem. Everything is exactly as a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be, and that's the only thing that's running the world. And there's really on the highest level of viewing it, there is no such thing as nes and teva. It's all one thing, and therefore there's no word to identify this mode, the supernatural, and this mode, the natural, because on a pure, real view of existence, that there is no, there's no difference between the two. There are no two things. There are no two modes of the way the world runs. This could hypothetically also be the meaning of sa nes, the idea of do something miraculous, that we're asking Hashem to do something miraculous to bring together, to bring back our exiles, or perhaps that kibbutz galus itself, the ingathering itself, will be miraculous, not just do a miracle to show us, but that do a miraculous ingathering from the exiles. And in a certain sense we can see why it should take a miracle for kibbutz galus to happen. But they're asking Hashem to you know, maybe if necessary, or maybe specifically we want to see the greatness of the revelation, but to do a nes, to do a miracle, to gather in the exiles. One last idea, that the word nes is also related to the word nisayon, which means a test, right? Hashem nisa es Avram. Hashem tested Avram. The word nisa is, you know, the same. It's maybe more letters in the shorish there, but the same, at least in the basic two-letter shorish of nes, same shorish as nisa. The idea of nisayon also related to this idea of nes. So it's the idea, what does the word nisayon really mean? What is the idea of nisayon? The Ramban, famous Ramban, on that pasuk Hashem Nisas Avram, the Ramban points out that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Menaseh someone, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu tests someone, so a Kadosh Baruch Hu is, you know, Yodei HaKol, a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows everything, a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows whether or not the person will pass the test. So Mitzad, Mitzido, Yisbach, from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, there's really no point in the test. There's no point in carrying out the test. He knows whether he's going to do it or not, whether or not he'll pass the test, so why bother giving the test? The Ramban says that the point of the Nisayon is for the sake of the Menusa, is for the sake of the person who's being tested, that is to show the Menusa what he has inside of him, is to bring out the potential, is to be Motzi Min HaKoach El HaPoel, is to show the Menusa what he is really capable of, what he really has inside of him. And that's the point of a Nisayon, is to lift up, to elevate the person who is given the test, to show him the that there's really more that he has that he didn't realize that he could achieve. The Malbim, a similar idea. The Malbim says there's two words which mean to test something. There's the word Bochein and the word Menaseh. Menaseh is Nisayon, Bochein is a Bechina. So the Malm says that when you're Bochein something, you're testing to see if it is what it seems, if it is what you think it is. You test if it has the properties that you expect it to have. You're wondering if this is a piece of, you know, whatever it is. You test to see if it's magnetic. So you pull a magnet over it and see if it really is. It looks like it's, you know, I don't know what metals are magnetic, but you know, whatever it is, and you pull over a magnet and you test to see, oh, that it really was what it appears to be, and you verified that it is what it seems to be. That's the idea of a bechina, is testing to verify that it has the properties that you expect it to have. The Malvin says that when you're menaseh something, a nisayon is to test if something really has properties that you didn't expect it to have. You're testing to see if it really is more than what it seems. You're showing if there is something limala min hateva, there's something which is beyond the nature of the entity. You're showing if there's something latent in the entity, which in this object, in this item, that is beyond what you would expect the capabilities of the item to be. Maybe there's more there than meets the eye. You're testing to see if you can find something which is beyond the norm of what you expect from this object. That's what a nisayon is. And the also probably is the same idea, connection to a nes, a miracle, that a nes is also a form of a nisayon, is a form of bringing, it's showing that there is something beyond the teva of the world, that there is something more than meets the eye to the nature of the existence of the world, that the world, as it meets the eye, you have an olam kiminhago noig, that you look at the world and things follow, you know, things stay, are the way they are, that it follows the general pattern, and you get the impression from looking at the world that the teva of the world, the nature of the world, that's what there is in the world, what you see, that there's, you know, a certain what you see is what you get, and that there's you know, there's nothing more to it. The world has rules, there's laws of physics, there's laws of chemistry and biology and whatever else there is, and the world follows those rules, and that's what determines what happens, is those rules. The nace is what comes and shows that there's more to the world than what you expected to find. There's more, and you look at the world and it looks like everything just follows natural laws. Really, the nace shows you that no, there's something much greater, there's something much bigger behind that, behind those laws. There's a much powerful existence which is running the show, and that's the there's more than meets the eye, and that's the idea of a nace, is really this type of nisayon, this test where it shows and reveals that there really is more there than you expected to find, that there's really a deeper level there that you didn't see, and that the nisayon is what brings it out and what reveals that there really was more there than you expected. This also, we would hope that this also ties back in to the idea that we were discussing, the other meanings of nace that we've been discussing, that nace as a raya, or the nace as a degel, as a banner, or as a proof, that it's the idea of the nace is showing what is there. The idea of the banner lifted up high to make something clear that there's one, you know, a focal point. But the idea of a raya, a proof, that you're showing clearly what really is there. You're identifying what's there. It's no longer left up to guessing, that it's clearly revealed. That's what a nace is. A nace leaves it, a person could, you know, look at the world and see, a person who's sensitive enough could see the hidden miracles, could see, you know, the guidance behind the world. But at the end of the day, everything could be the way it was. Everything could have been that it just worked out that way. The nace is what comes and shows that no, that everything that, you know, could have been just pure coincidence, really it's a clear revelation, doesn't leave you guessing anymore and putting things together in one possible interpretation, but it clearly reveals that there is more to the world than what you see. That's the idea of a nisayon, is showing that there's more there than what you thought was there. That's the idea of the nace, is the raya, is the proof, to show concretely that there is something more than what you expected to find. So, sa nes lekabetz galu yosenu, to that, in this, aspect of looking at it, the sa nes lekabes gal yosenu would mean that the Shem should do a nes. He should show that there is much more to the galus than just wandering and suffering. 2,000 years in galus, and it seems like they all there is you know, we were thrown out and we're left, and we go through the suffering, and hopefully at some point, you know, it'll end and we'll get taken back. But the galus, you know, the galus remains the galus. Once we have a geula, you know, we think that that's, you know, the end, that it's, there was a period of suffering and now the suffering ends, and now, you know, Baruch Hashem, when you go into the geula and that ends. But no, that is a san nis, the kabitz gal yosinu, is to show that there was more to the galus than what we thought there was there. We thought that it was a period of suffering that was just there as, you know, a punishment as a suffering, and certainly in a certain extent, galus is a corrective measure which wouldn't have been necessary had we not been deserving, or had it not come to that, had it not been necessary according to what we brought ourselves to. But now, like, to the extent that now we were sent into galus, galus is not just a punishment. Galus is corrective, and galus is leading to something. There's a purpose to everything that happens in galus. There's a purpose to everything that it leads to. A purpose, and it leads to a geula, and it leads to a final and permanent redemption. And it's, there's more to the end of galus than just the fact that it's over. But the end of a galus is also the culmination of galus that shows that everything that we went through, that everything that it took to get up to this point, was not happenstance and was not just an arbitrary era of hardship, but that there was something behind the galus. There was more to it. There was a mechanism which was bringing the world to a tachlis in a way that when the geula comes, that we'll be able to look, that we'll see Odecha Hashem ki anafta bi, that David Melech says that in the future, Odecha, I will acknowledge you, Hashem, because you abused me, because you harmed me. That's not just I will acknowledge you, Hashem, even though, but it's ki anafta bi, because you abused me before, you, because you harmed me, I will acknowledge, I'll thank you. David Melech is saying at the end, we'll realize how all of the travails that we went through were not just a necessary evil, but they were serving a purpose. Maybe necessary evil isn't the right phrase to contrast with serving a purpose, but that they weren't. It wasn't just arbitrary suffering that was there because of suffering, that was there perfectly to serve the purpose of culminating in the geula, and therefore in the sa nes, they should do something to reveal that the kibbutz galios is more than just an end of the galus, but it's a culmination of the galus, and there was more there than what meets the eye. So next week or 2 weeks from now, we're going to try and come back to fit that into the bigger picture. Shmona Esrei, just in the final moments here, wanted to add on one point. I saw a beautiful point in Rinas Chaim of Chaim Shmulevitz, that he makes a diuk. The bracha says v'sa nes, raise a banner, lashon yachid singular, raise one banner, lekabetz galu yosenu, not lekabetz galu senu, not to gather in our exile, but lekabetz galu yosenu, to gather in for all of our exiles, all of the many different galu yos, all of the different exiles that are all there, they'll all be gathered in with one nace, with one banner. All of the varied galuyos, all of the different exiles with all of the unique situations and challenges that each of them has, and that, you know, the Jews in Russia, and the Jews in you know, Arab countries, and the Jews in the United States, they're all a very different type of galus that they're in. But all of the different galuyos will be ended, with the same nace, the same banner, the same revelation will end all of the different galuyos, the one revelation of Hashem's oneness, and how each galus, with all of its challenges and all of its unique struggles, leads towards the one tachlis of Avodas Hashem, and leads towards the one tachlis of the Gilo Yichud, of the revelation of Hashem's oneness, of showing how everything fits in perfectly to the complete control that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has over the world, and His absolute oneness, and that Ein Od Milvado, and there is nothing else other than Hashem and His purpose and His mission for the world, that's the one nace, it's a sa nace, one unique one singular unifying factor which ends all of the different galuyos with all of their variety, everything, all of their different flavors. They'll all be ended with that one nace, which shows that all of them are headed towards the same purpose. All of them are just different aspects in that gilo yichud, in revealing another element of how, even though there was this, that's part of a Kaddish Baruch Hu's Achdus, and even though there was that, that's part of a Kaddish Baruch Hu's Achdus, and even though there was the other, each one shows that none of it, that all of it fits in perfectly to the unity of a Kaddish Baruch Hu's absolute control and absolute direction of the world, and it's all in that one nace, and all in that one banner, gathers in all of the different galuyos. So that's san nace, l'kabit galuyosenu, with one banner, with one sign, with one revelation, that he gathers in and ends and brings together all of the different galuyos, all of the different exiles. Yes.